Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
You know, I woke up this morning, first text that I received says, Bill, a young man with whom I've been meeting is unsure as whether he's accepted Christ. If I can get him to come, could you meet with us sometime soon, maybe early Friday morning? I said, this afternoon would be perfect. I'm flexible from 1:30 to 4. My schedule's not so flexible, but let me see if I can get my buddy freed up and perhaps you guys can meet without me. Sounds great. Second text I received was from Sheriff Lott. And the sheriff says, I cannot do lunch tomorrow. He and I are supposed to share the gospel with a friend downtown. I text back as respectfully as I can for fear that he might throw me in jail. Are you serious? What about Monday? Another friend just canceled. Monday's good. All right, let's do it then. Where? Capital City Club, 12 o'clock. I have a gift certificate. You're telling so-and-so? Already did. He's insisting on paying. I was real tempted to text back that I'm going to eat big time Monday. So I love to share the gospel. I just love to share the gospel. And when I do, I have great confidence for two reasons. Number one, you've heard me quote this verse many, many times. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it, the gospel is the power of God for salvation. So I'm going armed. This is my pocket knife. I'm going armed. It's not my sword. It's just a little bit shorter. I'm going armed with the power of God because I'm sharing the gospel. But we're going to look at another verse this morning. And it makes a tremendous combination, a very powerful combination. And that's Mark Smith, our future president, just texted me. We better turn it over. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Now, so if I'm going with the power of the gospel on the outside, and then the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside, why would I ever be afraid to share the gospel? And I was tempted to be afraid Tuesday morning last week. Sunday, I spoke at Tommy's church, Tommy's daddy's church, Tommy Rutt, and that's the name of the church. You see the billboard, it says Tommy Rutt's Daddy's Church on the outside. And there are three services. The first service, there was a lady that came up, and my sweet wife, my Valentine, led her to Christ about 30 years ago. Second service, there was another gal that had come to Christ in our youth ministry. Third service, there wasn't anybody. So we stayed there a couple days, taught a Bible study. Tuesday morning, we're leaving, and they said, hey, can you go share Christ? Our friend is dying of cancer. Would you go share Christ? They know you're coming. I said, well, that's great. Well, I get there. I'm expecting this. It's an 85-year-old man and his wife. I'm expecting the two of them. They had a friend there. I had not gotten comfortable, and the friend's cussing up a storm. And I'm thinking, well, I'm just going to wait until he leaves to share the gospel. But he never left. And I'm thinking, maybe it'd be three people that accept Christ this morning. Because this is the power of the gospel, for salvation, the gospel. And the Holy Spirit. If I open up to and appropriate his power, there's power on the outside as I speak the gospel. There's power on the inside. So, it's not my power. It's not your power. It's his power. And this is just one result of what we've been studying this year in the President's Chapel's Victorious Christian Life. And so, I want us just to quickly review. We said at the very beginning last fall, there's a reality. There's more to the Christian life than we typically see in the pew at church. There's more. So, don't settle for being a typical Christian. by the power of the Holy Spirit, walk in His victory and be a biblical Christian so you can fellowship with the Father and grow in spiritual maturity. Then we spent the rest of the time looking at what's the route? How do we get there? And so we looked at these verses right here. And we said, there are a lot of verses that talk about what He's prompting us, He's convicting us, He's giving these commands, and we need to yield to His control. I need to live my life for Christ. But this has kind of been the theme statement all the way through. I've repeatedly said, it's not enough for us to live our life for Christ. We must let Christ live His life through us in the power of His Holy Spirit. So we looked at some other verses, these six verses we highlighted, and we saw that God also gives power, but our responsibility is to appropriate His power. So we put it all together in this little diagram. We said walking in the Spirit is a two-step process. I must constantly be recommitting my life to His control, and I must constantly be appropriating His power. So I gave you this prayer, and I have prayed this prayer several times, even this morning. One, negatively, because I felt like my attitude hadn't pleased the Lord. And I prayed, Lord, what I did was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm resubmitting my life again to Your Lordship, to Your control. I'm submitting myself again. You're the boss. I'm not. But then I've prayed it many, many times this morning. That was once early this morning. Many, many times since then, as I look to be with you this morning, because I want the Scriptures to come alive to you. And I want you to not just understand it, I want you to grasp it and live it and obey it. So, Lord, I can't do this in my own fleshly effort. I've tried. Holy Spirit, would You fill me and use me? And then I did not show you this. We ran out of time last time. But whenever you retake control of your life, or begin trusting in your own abilities. And it's so easy, like professors. I've taught class for 30 years. Why get on my knees and pray before I go into class? I can do this. I know how to do this. Or I've spoken in chapel dozens and dozens and dozens of times. I just go speak in chapel. No. If I'm starting to trust in my own abilities, I must immediately take those two steps over and over and over again, day after day after day. Well, today we're taking another turn in this series. So there's more. But you can't do it in your own fleshly effort. And you can't do it running your own life. Resubmit and reappropriate. So what are the results when we do that? There are two, and they break down into two big categories. Then the Holy Spirit, He does something in our walk with Christ, and He also does something in our work for Christ. And so this morning, I'm going to focus on this one first, our work for Christ. And I want to end the semester, I think, on our walk with Christ. So the verse we're looking at this morning is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1. So if you'll scroll there or turn there in your Bibles. And these are the last words of Christ. And last words are important. And I think we skipped over one slide. Let's go back one slide. Well, go forward two slides. No, go forward, 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 right there. This is a letter from my mother. They were her last words. Let me say this. They were her last written words to me, and I'm going to tell you what her last verbal words to me in just a moment. And last words are important. She knew she was dying of cancer. When she was diagnosed to her death was 95 days, she went down very, very quickly. So she wrote this to me. She said, and the reason I have all these little marks beside it is because I read this at her funeral, when I spoke at her funeral. The past month has been hectic. Seems like a dream. I feel like I'm on the periphery of a drama that's being enacted, but then I realize I have the starring role, and how I want my demise to count for something other than a place for my friends to go on Sunday afternoon. I pray that people will see that this isn't the end, but really the beginning. Really, the dying isn't bad at all. It's the suffering you have to put those dearest to you through that hurts most. Then, you know, she says stuff that only mamas can say. You've always been such a wonderful son. And I immediately thought back the time she would try to beat the living daylights out of me. Never a moment's worry or grief. Bless her heart. You can tell she's on a lot of medication at this point. The Lord laid his hand on you early, blah, blah, blah. Okay, at this particular point, though, is what you did for my life. Do you remember standing beside another hospital bed of mine in 1974? I knew when it was because I had not come to Christ yet. I had tried, my mom speaking, I tried to live a moral life to that point. And to be honest, I thought that's what Christianity was all about. I, at 41, questioned my son at age 18, and you gave me the information that got me where I am today. Thanks to your guidance, I can honestly say I'm not the least bit afraid of what's ahead. This is not to say that I welcome it, but I know it's the hand of God, and I want to meet the challenge. Thanks to you, my darling son. Don't you dare call me darling, okay? The long talks we had at night at Emory, that's the hospital, were like a balm to my heart. Your words were comforting, and I began to see I did not have to feel discouraged. So, when I shared the gospel with my mother that time in the hospital, I was not a believer. You've heard this story. I shared the gospel with her because these guys have been sharing the gospel with me. She asked me, I don't know if I'm going to heaven or hell when I die. I said, I have no clue. But these guys at school keep reading this little yellow tract to me. Let me go, my drawer's full of them. Let me go get one and I'll read it to you. So I read it to her, the gospel. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. She came to Christ. Her last verbal words, she led her 72-year-old sister to Christ. And because she went down so quickly, she came to me and she said, and my father, who was a brand new Christian at that point, she said, I'm too weak to lead any more of the family to Christ. She had not really shared her faith until her last couple of months of life. And then she realized as she stared through the door of eternity that there were family members that needed Jesus. So she shared and led her 72-year-old sister to Christ. Then she says to my father and me, I'm too weak. And my father had just prayed to receive Christ. After 23 years of praying for him, he had just prayed to receive Christ, the exact date that I accepted Christ 23 years later, March 24th. And she said, will you two lead the rest of our family to Christ? Those were her last verbal words to me, other than when I called her on the phone from overseas, because I was told she would live until I got back, realized she was dying. Debbie had me call her, and I called her. And she only said just a couple words, if I remember right, sweetheart. She's like, oh, my sweet. Now, don't you guys do this now. It's kind of like that darling kind of stuff that mamas do. The only thing that bothers me about this, it looks like it's a form letter because she writes my name at the top. And so I wonder if she just got it off the internet, but I realized the internet wasn't around back then. So what were the last words of Christ? I mean, he had all eternity past to be thinking about. What are the last verbal words I want to give to my followers? And Acts 1:8 are his last words. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Now, I'm dividing this verse into two main parts. So I've highlighted the first part here. It says, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Some of you, when you get out of here, and hopefully before you get out of here, hopefully you will get out of here, you're going to be focused on sharing Christ here and now locally. And you will be able to share the gospel powerfully because the gospel is God's power and the Holy Spirit gives us power. And to give you an example of how powerful it is, I've invited a friend to join us this morning. Joe, come on up, please. Let's welcome Joe Burns, please. Now, this is good news. Joe is the vice president for credit over South State Bank. So today, after the service, he's giving away free money. So if you need anything for graduation or
I left it in the car.
What's that?
I think I left it in the car.
Oh, you left it in the car. Okay, that's fine. We can go get it. All right, Joe, when did you become a follower of Christ? When did you invite Jesus into your life?
Bill, I crossed over and surrendered my life to Jesus on October the 21st, 2015.
Less than a year and a half ago.
Right.
All right, so tell us, what was your life like before you invited Christ into your heart?
Chaotic is the best word to describe it. Let me go back and tell you a little bit about my background. I was born into a strong Christian family, a Southern Baptist family. I went to church a lot. I was pretty good at Bible drills. But I'm going to use this word control several times. I wanted to control my future. I wanted to control my life. So I'm not sure I ever really bought in to the gospel, although I had heard the gospel many, many times. Now, my brother, my older brother, he ended up becoming a minister. But I was going to do it my way. So I went out. I worked in banking for 40 years. Had some good times, had some bad times. But a couple of years ago, really maybe almost 3 years ago, our family became under serious attack. I mean, I'm talking about things that would cripple a family. So when I say my life was chaotic, it really was, dealing with a lot. And I think one reason I ended up in the job I am today is I have to control things at work. And the funny thing is I have to control it via people that don't actually report to me directly. So let's just say I'm a control freak. So I thought I could fix these issues, but I came to the realization that it wasn't working. So not only was my life chaotic, it was becoming hopeless.
Oh my.
So that's what it was like.
So how did you actually cross over?
Well, I was seeking. I was seeking something. And I think I was almost at a disadvantage from folks that hadn't been really exposed to the gospel like I was. Because, you know, that wasn't the first place I went when I was trying to fix all these issues. But a good friend of mine at work kind of knew some of the things we were struggling with. And she just one day asked me some pretty simple questions. And I won't go into all that, but that was the impetus that got me to the point to where I truly have crossed over. So that's kind of how I got there.
Okay, and that was October 21st. And then how has your life changed since then?
Well, here's the difference. Let me give you a banking analogy because that's what I know most about. You know, banking is becoming more and more complex. The regulation is constant. It's being changed. It's being strengthened. So a lot of times we bring in a consultant from the outside to help us with that because we don't claim to have all the answers there. And the difference is, today I have a relationship with the best consultant you could ever find.
That's a great analogy.
So that's the difference. You know, my life is still hectic. There's still problems. But Jesus as the consultant, I now have hope. And I know if he needs to pick me up and carry me a while, then he'll do it.
Are you growing?
Well, I'm my own worst self-critic, so not as fast as I would like, but yes, I do think I'm growing.
And I've watched you the last year and a half, and I think you are growing rapidly. You have a Thursday morning Bible study you attend. How often do you miss?
I'm missing a day.
Oh. Well, I'd really jump on that guy who got you out of Bible
I didn't
study.
Want to miss the opportunity to come speak to y'all, so I think they'll give me a pass, but
all right.
I rarely miss it.
And I know those guys in that Bible study. If they give you a hard time, let me know, okay? Yeah. I started the Bible study in 2004 that he attends. All right, Joe, what would it take for more people to come to Christ downtown?
Well, first of all, let me say God has a plan to bring people to Christ downtown. So all I can really do is give you an opinion. But in my opinion, and this applies to every city, every place, there need to be more people like my friend who not only lives a strong Christian life, and people see that, but was willing to say something.
So not just a demonstration, but maybe a declaration.
Right. So we need more of that everywhere, but especially in the business world and the professional world, We just have to have more of that.
What, and this doesn't have to be about your story of coming to Christ, what advice would you have for our students?
Golly, I don't know that I'm qualified to give advice, but I will say a couple of things. It's become so clear to me now that people, all people, even old guys like me that have been around a while, that you might look at me and say, you know, I could never talk to that man about Jesus. But people are hungry. They're looking for something. And believe me, they're watching you and me. They want to know if this, what we have is real.
Mm-hmm.
So just remember that. And, you know, the mission field is everywhere. So you may go into the business world, professional world. You may become a minister of the gospel. You may serve in other mission or ministry. Just don't forget people like me.
Strong. Let's thank Joe, okay?
Thank you.
And I want to tell you one little story about Joe and his wife, Judy. Judy, stand up, please. So this is Joe's wife, Judy, right here. This is going to embarrass them. But you need to understand, how many have received scholarships to get you through CIU? Raise your hands. All right, Joe and Judy, look around, please. Well, no, keep your hands up. All right. And you can put them down. Joe is a year and a half old in the Lord. A year ago, when he was a half a year old in the Lord, he said, Bill, Judy and I want to help these students get out of CIU with as little debt as possible so they can go impact the nations with the message of Christ. And as a six-month-old follower of Christ, they gave a significant gift to help you go change the world. I think the two of them deserve a big round of applause, don't you? And now that we know his car is full of money, I'm taking him to lunch in the cafeteria. So you guys, now let's look at the last part of this verse. It says, but some of us will go to the remotest parts of the world, the earth, to the ends of the earth. And some of us will be focused locally, some of us globally. People are sacrificing greatly for you to make a difference in the world, locally, globally. What a powerful combination, the power for salvation and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, may we be mindful of your last words, and may we take the good news of your love and forgiveness to our Jerusalems, our Judeas, our Samarias, even to the remotest parts of the earth. Lord, use us. Yet, Lord, we don't want to be used in our own strength and abilities. Would you fill us full Lord, would you even anoint so we minister? It's no question that you're doing it through us. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.